In your Bibles, what we're going to do is we're going to be in 1 Peter and we're going to be in the book of Matthew, but our first verse is in Luke chapter 22. Take Luke chapter 22 for our text, and then we're going to be in the book of Matthew and we're going to be in 1 Peter. And we're going to be in several places when we do this. So let's just get together in Luke chapter 22, and then we'll give you time to get situated in Matthew. We'll probably be over in Matthew 16, and we'll be over in 1 Peter. Because what we're going to do today is we're going to look at Peter's conversion. We're going to look at Peter's conversion. In Luke chapter 22, notice here in verses 31 and 32, just before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the Lord's Supper, so we're really, really getting close now to this time that the Lord is going to die. The Lord says to Peter in Luke chapter 22 verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now notice what he says there. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter's going to experience a change. And that change is going to make all the difference in the world to what you think and what I think about Peter and what God thinks about Peter and the effectiveness of Peter's ministry. In order to see that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll dive right into the Bible and we'll talk about Peter's conversion. Father, we're thankful today. We love you. We're very, very thankful for your kindness to us, your love, your salvation, the shedding of your blood on Calvary like we sang there in the old rugged cross. Father, we're thankful for these folks that are here, the beautiful day that we're enjoying and this Bible that we know is true. We're thankful for the Spirit of God who now will fill us and allow us, Father, under your leadership to be able to glean from the Scripture what it is that you'd have us to have. And Father, we pray that today when we look in the Scripture and preach, that our lives will change. We ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when you think about Peter, you think about some of the episodes in his life that are recorded in the Gospels. You think about those episodes where he fell in the water when he should have been walking on the water. And this thing that happens to him right after Jesus Christ says, I've prayed for thee, and he denies the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, We look at these things in Peter's life because they demonstrate a very carnal, fearful, brash, self-willed man. Sometimes we even speak of these things mockingly in Peter's life. I mean, who's ever going to forget that he runs out there on the water and then cries out, Lord, save me? Who's going to ever forget that he's the one that boasted, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then he turns right around and denies the Lord three times. You know, we're critical of Peter because of those things. But I'm going to tell you something. Though we can recall those incidents in Peter's life, we've got to remember that they happened early in his walk with the Lord. These are things that you read about before his conversion. In other words, later in Peter's life, after he'd been converted, after he'd grown spiritually, you don't hear about these kind of things anymore. You don't hear any more mess-ups on the part of Peter. You know why? He was changed. He wasn't the same man. He had been converted. And may I tell you something? Many of you have changed. You've been through a similar experience. You're not the same person today that you were that made those gross mistakes that you made back then when you made them many years ago. You've changed. And we need to remember that Peter finished the race well. He finished it a whole lot better than he started it. You got to remember that. And you're going to finish your race a whole lot better than you started yours. Now, so what we're going to do is today we're going to look at some early chapters in Peter's life. And then we're going to contrast those things that happened to him in the Gospels with things that he wrote about in the epistles. And you're going to see the change visibly. You'll be able to put your finger on the scripture and say, oh, look at that. With God's help, Peter was a different man. You know what? And by God's help, during this sermon, you consider your own life, you're going to be encouraged to know something. You're going to be encouraged that you are not now what you were back then. And you're not going to be what you are now. You're changing. And that's a good thing. It's going to help us to understand those things because you know something? I get to visit with people from time to time. And a lot of people live in the past. In other words, when they think of themselves in the company of Christians or they think of themselves in God's eyes, they beat themselves up because of something they did in the past. As if that's the person they still are. And if you were able to do that and do it successfully, you'd have to beat up Peter and say that's what he still is. And he wasn't that anymore. He changed. And so have you. And if you haven't yet, you will. Let's contrast first of all in Peter's life, the carnal man and the converted man. Okay? Look in Matthew chapter 16. Now we're going to be in Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Here's the carnal man. Jesus Christ asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, what a great compliment to Peter. Then the Lord says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, from that time, Matthew 16, 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, that is Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now listen, when you savor something that's of men and not of God, you're a carnal man. Or if you're a woman, you're a carnal woman. And that's what Peter was. He was carnal and easily influenced by the devil here. The carnal man was absolutely clueless about the influence of Satan in his life. He was absolutely clueless about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ and any benefit they may have to Peter himself. All right? You're going to come back to Matthew, so if you can find your way back there easily, fine. If not, throw a piece of paper there and go with me to 1 Peter. Now, let me show you something about Peter. He wrote in his own words in 1 Peter, look at this in chapter 5. Look what he says here in verse 8. Here's a guy that was absolutely clueless. He was speaking really under the influence of the devil. And now in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says to us in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He had first-hand experience with that. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He survived it, and he grew from it. Look in 1 Peter chapter 4 at verse 12. He's rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ for saying, hey, you can't go to that cross and die. But now look at him. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as, watch it, you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, don't get upset about it. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. That's the converted man. That's the converted man. You know what he says? That converted man is both knowledgeable of the workings of the devil and also about the glory of Christ's suffering. He said, I got that figured out. Now, when I had the opportunity to speak about it the first time, I was like, hey, don't do that. But now I know what he accomplished with it. I'm converted. I'm like, thank God he did. And if I have to suffer as a result of that, glory to God. That's a converted man. That's somebody that has grown past that past. He was changed. You know something? There was a day in your life when Satan tried to ruin you. And you didn't realize that he was there to try to ruin you, and you didn't realize the benefit of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you weren't sober, and you weren't vigilant, and you made a boneheaded, dumb, stupid mistake. I'm talking to myself in the mirror right now, because that's exactly the way I've talked to myself. But you know something? That's not who you are anymore. Why do you want to keep living back there with that dumb thing that an ignorant man or woman about the workings of the devil made that decision back then? Why would you live back there? That's not who you are today. You are converted if you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have grown. And with what you know today, given those circumstances now, you wouldn't dare make that same mistake. Any more than Peter would make the mistake that he made. He said, if given the opportunity now to face the sufferings of Christ, I'm going to be a partaker. And I'm sober and I'm vigilant because I know that enemy, the devil. And he's like a roaring lion and he wants to devour me. You know something? If you're here today, listen, and you have not been saved, you're not changed. Listen, if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ and you have not changed, you have not been saved, then you're going to be under the easy influence of the devil and you're going to make another bonehead decision. And all that can change today. Just like the Lord said to Peter, he says, Satan hath desired to have thee, but that he may sift thee as wheat. But when thou art converted, you can be converted today. You say, what was that involved? These guys know the gospel. I'm not going to belabor the point. If you want to be converted after you hear this deal, we'll have an invitation and you can sit down with somebody and see a few more verses in the Bible that'll tell you. But I'll tell you what it is. You become a new creature in Christ. Before my conversion, I'm a hell-bound sinner walking like this, and I am doing the best in my own pride to ruin my life. Although I think I'm having fun while I'm doing it. I know y'all never been there, but I'll just try to describe for you what it's like for a sinner. And one day, Jesus Christ came along and saved my soul and turned me around, and I'm a new creature in Christ going another direction. And I tell you what, the longer I go with Christ, the further I am removed from that ash heap of sin back there. Now, am I going to gauge who I am by what happened back then or what I am today? And Peter said, I'm going to tell you how it goes, folks. He says, the carnal man makes stupid decisions like I did, but this converted man recognizes that there is a devil and recognizes that he's going to suffer with Christ to the glory of God, and I'm good with both of those because I'm paying attention. Let's do another thing in Peter's life. Let's contrast this. And please. We're going to cover a few points here today. But if that point has addressed something that's really been nagging on you, would you let that thing digest in your gizzard for just a minute? would you grind that up and get that down in there? How many of you today are saved and you know it? Just raise your hand. You're saved, you know, put your hands back down. You are not what you were before you got saved. Would you get up out of that mud hole and shake off that dirt and realize Jesus has made a change in your life? Amen. Amen. All right, now let's look at another one. Let's contrast this time the fearful man and the faithful man. The fearful man and the faithful man. Let's look over here in Matthew chapter 14. Here's Peter over there in that boat. And he sees Jesus Christ out there on the water, just like the other disciples do. And they all think they're seeing a ghost. They think it's Casper. And, you gotta have lived a while to know who I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25. Matthew 14. You know better than that. I'm not in Matthew chapter 24. I'm in Matthew 14. I'm in verse 25. All right, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking by the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. That's the way Casper, right? It's a spirit. And they cried out of fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, listen. You put your faith in the words of God. That's how you live. Look what Jesus said. Be of good cheer. It is I. What are the next three words? Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. I don't know what was in his mind. That's what he wanted to do. Verse 29, he said, come. All right. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Jesus said, be not afraid. Jesus said, come. Could you put your faith in that? Yeah, you could. All right. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, what are the next three words? He was afraid. Well, that's what Jesus told him not to be. And when he was afraid, what happened? He began to sink and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. All right. So we all laugh about that. Ha, Peter. You know, Peter. He's no different than we are. The Lord tells us, let not your heart be troubled. He said, be careful for nothing. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And what do? You scare yourself to death with financial news, medical news, political news, economic news. Amen? All right. That's the fearful man. Be not afraid. Come. Faith in those words would have kept Peter walking on the water. We know that. We know that. But his faith was swamped by fear and he fell in. Now, later on, after he's been converted, something really changed in his life. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and look at verse 5. Now look at this scaredy cat talking about faith now. Things have drastically changed. We're not dealing with the same man here at all. Now we're dealing with a faithful man. Look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 5. Talking about us that are saved, he says, who are kept? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God? Through what? Faith. Unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Let me tell you something. Peter's faith was tried that day. He didn't do very well. Fear swamped him. But you know something? He'd gone through manifold temptations, he writes about here, and suddenly he had found that his faith had been tried again and again. And what happened? It came out strong. And now you're talking about a man who's talking about faith, whereby you and I are found under the praise and honor and glory of the Lord in it. Well, that's a completely different man. You know what that is? That's a converted man. That's a changed man. That's like what you are. He wasn't seeking in this. Now you can look back in your life on some of the faithless, fearful decisions that you've made. But may I tell you something? You're not that person anymore. You've grown some. You've grown some. Or if you are that person, you don't have to be that person anymore. Your faith grows with trials, and who you are today is not who you were yesterday, and who you'll be tomorrow is not who you are today. You're changing. Now listen. Peter's faith was tried. Don't you know that your faith is going to be tried? And he doesn't want us to keep reacting in fear. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The society in which we live is selling everything and motivating everything by fear. And faith operates against fear. Be not afraid. Come. And if he hadn't been afraid, it would have been a different story. I'm glad, honestly, that he fell in. Not that I wish him any ill, but I've fallen in. We all have. But you know something? we recognize now those manifold temptations come to try our faith. Why? Because God wants our faith to grow, and it doesn't grow in the absence of trials. And so if you goofed up recently and caved into fear on a deal where you should have been faithful, you know what? Stand up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? It's not going to happen like that forever. I'm changing. It's going to be better. I'm going to count on God in these tests and put faith in what He said unto His praise and honor and glory. Amen. Amen. All right, let's do another one. Let's contrast the haughty man with the humble man. How do you like the way this is going so far? I got C and C, F and F, H and H, man. It sure helps to have a thesaurus, you know. Let's contrast the haughty man and the humble man. Back to Matthew. Let's go to 26. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, poor old Peter, man. I mean, every time this boy turns around, he's messing up. Matthew chapter 26 is just not a good chapter for Peter. Just one thing after another. I guess when the pressure really got on Peter, Peter was ADD and he just went to pieces. Just kept messing up. All right, look at the haughty man here in Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. All right, now if it's written down, is it going to happen? Absolutely. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Oh, that was a pretty haughty man right there. He had no idea what was getting ready to come his way. You know, Peter was so sure of himself and so sure that he stood above the crowd of those who could be offended that he boasted. Ha! I'll never do that. And yet it turns out when he was tempted in a way that he never expected, you know what? He was more offended than all of them. Why? Because he was proud. I'm going to describe the episode to you a little bit so that it makes this. We're going to actually look at another piece of this, but just so that it kind of comes into perspective for you. I heard a preacher give this light on the passage, and it really makes sense. If Peter had just come face to face with somebody who said, deny him, he never would have done it. But Peter in his pride missed an area of his own personal weakness. And that's the problem with pride, is that you miss the area of your own personal weakness. See, Jesus Christ in Luke had told them, before when I told you to go out, I told you just to go with one staff, a pair of shoes, don't even take a scrip. And this time you better take a scrip, next pair of shoes, and you better take a sword with you. And they went and found that they had two. Well, you would know that Peter would end up with one of those. So he gets that sword and they go into Gethsemane. Of course, he's sleeping through the prayer meeting. And then all of a sudden Judas comes with the soldiers and whing, out comes a sword and whacked off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus Christ put that ear back on that fellow's head and said, no. Peter went ballistic. Inside. Because he had put his own life on the line to defend Jesus Christ from the death he told Jesus Christ he should never experience. And Jesus rebuked him in front of everybody. And Peter didn't recognize how severely his pride had been wounded. And so when the little maid came to him and said, you're one of his. You know what he's saying? I'm not one of his. Not that he wants to die that bad, let him die. I'm for a man that wants to be king, not a wimp. That's what's going on. And he had no idea in his pride that he exposed himself to that area of weakness. But did he learn? You better believe. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Go back to it. You can see in his epistle, he learned the lesson about his pride very well. And he says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, what the solution is, and it happened to him. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, likewise ye younger submit yourselves unto the elder, which is what Peter didn't do to Jesus Christ. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. He could put a little addendum right there, and I got first-hand experience with that. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, he'd exalted himself. I'll never be offended. He should have said, Dear Lord, if the scripture says we're all going to be scattered, we're all going to be scattered, but I apologize now for the stupidity we're about to do. Well, he learned it. He learned it. You can tell the strength of humility was something that came now to him. And may I tell you something? You can look back in your own life and see where you blundered in your own pride. Yeah, you can. And you know something? You still sometimes trouble yourself about that. May I tell you something? You are not who you were when you made that decision. You've changed. And if that decision was pretty near term, may I tell you something? If you will go in humility, you will look back on that and realize, I am not that person that made that decision. I am converted. I'm changed. I've grown past that. Why beat yourself up about that incident that happened so long ago? Somebody inject an amen there. It will help us. You've humbled yourself today. And in humility, you'd never make the same mistake again. The answer to haughtiness is humility. Humility. You say, well, preacher, I made that mistake this morning. Good, then humble yourself now. You'll get past it. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26 to show you something else about this dear friend of ours, Peter. I like Peter more now that I'm doing this study because I realize he and I have a lot in common. This time we're going to contrast the powerless man with the powerful man. The powerless man with the powerful man. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 40. We already mentioned this, that he cometh unto his disciples. This is while Jesus Christ has been praying. He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that true? Boy, is it ever true. My flesh is so weak. And you know something? It hadn't gotten any better with time. It really hadn't. And now it's getting weaker. I mean, physically we get weaker and it's more, but listen. You know, Peter fell asleep. As a matter of fact, this was, you know, he fell asleep during every episode of Jesus Christ leaving to go pray. He came back and found him asleep. He couldn't stay awake, listen, for the most important prayer meeting of his life. This is the one he needed to stay awake for. He couldn't do it. His spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. You know something? You can see the change in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. I know we go back and forth, but we have to always see the change. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 7. Here's the powerful man. Not only is he staying awake now for important prayer meetings, but he's advising us to do the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, he says to us, the end of all things is at hand. Do you believe that? I really do too. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. It's exactly what, those are the instructions of the Lord. He said, watch and pray. And so he tells them, watch unto prayer. Now, watch unto prayer is not this. Time's up. Thank you, Lord. Okay, it's not that. And it's not this. That old dirty scoundrel, I bet he's not getting through to you. Amen. Not that. A watch is something in the nighttime, a late night thing. This is somebody that's burdened in prayer and stays, he's missing something in order to watch and pray. In this case, usually sleep, which most of us don't like to miss. But there are times. Did not Jesus Christ stay up all night long before he chose those disciples? There are times when it's very important to pray. I tell you what, if your spouse is in the hospital, you're sitting in the waiting room, I bet you won't be filling your eyes with everything that's on that television. You'll be watching and praying. So you understand the concept. And Peter said, I got it now. You know what that was? That was the powerful man. Why? Because now his power was no longer dependent upon his flesh. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And when you got the Spirit of God in you, when your spirit is willing, you now have the power of God in you to do those things you couldn't have done if you had to just do them in your flesh. You have the Spirit of God's power in you to change. I'm not what I was before. That's not to my credit. God did something in my life. And the Spirit of God is the one that did it. Why? Because He says there's some fruit that comes with me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And that fruit is born in your life as I take over. And I tell you what, a man cannot produce that. When he has that, though, he's got some power. He can be calm in a storm. He can pray in a watch. That's the powerless man and the powerful man. Let me tell you something. When you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God is in you. Don't rely upon yourself. You didn't do well before. Don't think you've certainly gotten better now. But God has made you better. And if you made a bonehead decision 14 years or 12 years or 10 years or 18 years or 7 years or 3 years, you didn't make that decision in the Spirit of God. But you're making decisions in the Spirit of God now. You're not what you were. So don't judge yourself by your past. And if you've just become acquainted with the work of the Spirit of God in your life, thank God and say, one of these days I won't be making these stupid mistakes. Because I'm changing. I'm changing. All right, let's look at another one. Let's contrast the willful man and the willing man. Let me just tell you this story. Because I want to get to the last one. Let's contrast the willful man and the willing man. The willful man cut off the soldier's ears. That's what I was going to show you. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 17. Here's Peter. Arrest my Savior, no way. Whing! Whack! That's the willful man. Here's the willful man. How dare you cut me off? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. It is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter got this figured out. Look at chapter 2 verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. Even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was cut off in traffic, didn't cut off back. Who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Peter was willfully determined to keep Jesus Christ from dying, but in his epistle you can see that he's completely changed and even willing to suffer like Jesus. That's the beauty of conversion. Going from being willful, where God has to do everything the way you want, to being willing to do everything the way God wants. That's a major change. That's a major change. Hey, listen, isn't life easier now that you're more concerned about what God wants for your life than trying to get God jammed into your plans? Amen. It is, isn't it? And it's better too, isn't it? Yeah, that's the benefit of conversion. That's the benefit of change. Listen, if you made some willful decisions before jamming God into your plans that didn't work out, don't continue to judge yourself and beat yourself up by how those things didn't turn out. Make your decisions now according to His will. Your life is changing. One more. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Here's the contrast of the ashamed man and the assured man. The ashamed man and the assured man. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 69. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him. That's threatening. She could really put the hurt on you, Peter. Mister, I'm going to draw my sword and I'm going to protect Jesus, and a little girl comes. Hey. Thou also with Jesus of Galilee, he denied before them all. Say, I know not what thou sayest. When he's gone out into the porch, another maid saw him. Boy, that's threatening. said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied with an oath. That's not good. I do not know the man. After a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. In other words, it gives you away. Then began he to curse and to swear. That's that old fisherman coming at him again. And immediately, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. He went out and had a party. No, he wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. You know what he was there? He was an ashamed man. He was ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you've been ashamed to be associated with Jesus Christ? I have. I'm not happy to tell you that now. Do you know something? I've beat myself up at night about that sometimes. Why didn't I do better? Why did I cave into that pressure? I should have let them know back then I was a Christian. You ever done that to yourself? We don't live there anymore, folks. That's not who we are. God's changed us. So don't evaluate your life based on how you did it when you were ashamed. Evaluate your life now that you're assured like Peter was. Look in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and begin with me at verse 13. Life has changed. You say, well, I was just ashamed of Jesus this week. Okay, it doesn't have to be that way. Because you can walk in the assurance of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. He's changing you. If you're saved, you're not neutral. Things are changing. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. And who is he? I love this. This is the same man that caved into the maid. Look at this. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? That didn't even sound like the same man. This can't be Peter that wrote this. Well, it's not the Peter you saw back there denying Jesus before that maid. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. He wasn't. He was weeping bitterly. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Oh, I love that. To every man or maid. He didn't say that, but you can insert it. That asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. No more cursing and oaths and swearing. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed. In other words, not me anymore, them. That falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Peter, your speech gives you away. I don't know the man. Peter, your speech gives you away. And he said, now I'm happy to be associated with him. And let me give you an answer why. And now they walk away ashamed. Oh, that's good. You see the difference? That's the contrast between the ashamed man and the assured man. And you may find in your life, like Peter, that you've been ashamed of Jesus Christ at some time. Well, Peter certainly changed. And so are you. And so can you. Listen, there is no reason for you ever to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever. You aren't what you were before. You're new. He said, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man. To every man. That's one of the reasons that I like going out on Fishers of Men, which we're going to do at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You know why? Because it gives me a chance to stand up for my Savior assured and say, I'd like to give you an answer. I choose this time not to be ashamed. Not of that man. Not after what he's done for me. Not after what he's doing in my life. Not after what he's done for my family. Not after what he's done for you. Not after what he's doing in this church. No, like to stand up and maybe the rest of the world doesn't want him and maybe they don't want him in public places. Hey, let me just tell you a little bit about a man that changed my life. We don't have any reason to be ashamed. He's changed us now. We're new. Let's wrap it up this way, folks. You do not have to be what you are today if you haven't been changed. The Lord will change you. So what do I do? Man, if I were you and I had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I wouldn't even wait on an invitation. I'd get out and say, okay, me, I want some of that. I'll take it. And boy, I'll just, I remember one time I was explaining how to do an invitation one time when Bob DeMars was still alive. We were over in Beeville. He heard me on the radio and he came over there to see us, and he was sitting back over there in that old storefront building we were in. It's kind of like a section back there. He was sitting way back over there, and he had his eyes right on me. You know how some people say, that preacher was looking at me the whole time. He was looking at me the whole time. So I kind of glanced over that way. I said, let me explain to you how an invitation goes, because I knew his religious background didn't involve invitations. I said, now at an invitation, what we're going to do, the piano player is going to come up here and start to play. Well, she started and he started. And when he comes, then you can come down here, and when you come down here, and I mean, I kid you not, he came right down to where I was in the pulpit. Those days, we didn't have all this. It was right there, so he's like this. I'm like, I said, forget it. Play, and we just went to the invitation. That's how I'd be today. If I knew Jesus Christ could make the changes in my life that Jesus Christ made in Peter's life, and he could go from what he was in those Gospels to what he became in the Epistles, sign me up. I'm taking some of that. If you're here today without Christ, you do not have to be what you were when you walked in here. He will change your life. And if you've already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, just remember when Satan comes to you tonight and calls you a big loser for some bonehead thing you did in the Gospels of your life, just show him the epistles of Jesus Christ in your life today, because you are not that anymore. And if your boneheaded decisions are not in the distant past, but probably last week, keep growing. Because you're not going to be that next year or the year after that. You are changing. So listen, in the meantime, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Give men an answer. Why? They need him. They need him. And he's done something in your life that's worth telling people about. Amen? Amen. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity to open the Scripture. Oh, thank you so much for recording Peter's life. Honestly, openly, I know it's going to be in there for eternity. These are eternal words, but thank you for that, Father. They're such a comfort to me today. I'm sure a comfort to these that are gathered here. Now, Heavenly Father, we don't know the hearts and souls of men, but you do. I pray your Holy Spirit will honor this message in their lives. Some are discouraged. You've encouraged them today. Some are troubled about something they just did and have forgotten that the future in Christ is always better than even today. And maybe somebody here today is without Christ. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, during this message I said, is there anybody here, you know, if you're saved, raise your hand. They all raise their hands. I mean, I couldn't look around. There was a whole bunch of hands went in the air, and that's what I expected, of course. But maybe you couldn't raise your hand then. Maybe you don't know you're saved. You know what? You really need to be saved. And the Lord will change your life. Listen, they were all brave enough to raise their hands and say they are saved. Is there anybody here that would raise your hand and say, I'm not saved? Thank you. Thank you. Let me ask you this. If you know that and you know that God can do something in your life that makes it better than it is, what would be holding you back from taking him up on that offer? That's a good question. And if there's really not anything that'd be holding you back, you know what you ought to do? We're going to stand here and sing in just a minute. You ought to just slip out of your seat. Randy and Maureen are back there in the back of the church. Just slip out of your seat and say, would you show me from the Scripture? I want to be saved. And boy, I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ will save your soul. He'll change you. Before we sing, everybody look this way. Just look this way. Is there anybody here today that's saved that regrets the changes Jesus Christ has made in your life? Raise your hand if you regret those changes. Remember how many hands you saw that raised up a minute ago? Those that are saved, there's not one person here that will bravely raise a hand and say, I regret those changes. I'm going to tell you something. I love the changes Jesus Christ has made in my life. I recommend him highly. Please receive him today. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Randy and Maureen are waiting in the back of the church. Just slip out of your seat when we all grab a hymn book, and they will show you from the Scripture right now how to be saved. You can be saved. Listen, folks, let me ask you something before we sing. Did God help you? Are you glad you're not the Peter of the Gospels anymore? Amen. Amen. Boy, next time Satan comes knocking on your door, just say, hey, buddy, we're in the epistles now. Amen. Amen.